B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felt and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Children's song.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can you just give us the details of what happened with Chris and the timeline and when you found out?
Yeah. So this happened Saturday afternoon around lunchtime. Chris had actually just finished up his throwing at BC. Of course, we were using BC this past weekend because of the shows here at Fenway. And took his bike out to go grab some lunch near his house and hit something going down a hill, flew off the bike, and I learned about it later that afternoon. He reached out to Brad. Brad got over there and attended to him, and I was up in Portland actually this weekend and got looped in by Brad.
All right, hour number two, Felger and Maz, Matt McCarthy alongside. If you haven't heard by now, Chris Sale officially shut down for the rest of the year with a broken wrist. No, not the broken wrist, hand, whatever he suffered, taking that liner off the hand 2 or 3 weeks ago. No. As you heard Heim Bloom say, on Saturday, he went to get some lunch on his bike and went flying off his bike and broke his wrist, his right wrist, his non-throwing wrist, and now shut down for the year. Your thoughts on this story, Maz?
Okay, so, and I ask this in all seriousness. Like, first of all, to say the guy is jinxed is wrong. Like, I'm starting to look at it and say, what's the problem? Like, what is the problem here? I'm not joking.
No.
So the Tommy John surgery is one thing. Okay, fine, he had Tommy John. Then he's getting ready for camp, and he breaks a rib or cracks a rib or whatever, which seems odd to me. I can't ever remember a pitcher having a cracked rib from throwing
the ball. How did that happen?
Playing catch, right. Exactly.
So, like, what really happened there? Okay, like, what's the real story there? Then he's doing his rehab. They tell us it's going to be till June or whatever. And then during his rehab, he has a setback that still has not been disclosed. What was that issue? Why did he miss more time because of that? Then he comes back and gets hit by a line drive. Fine, fluky, nothing we can do about that, whatever.
You left out, not that he got hurt doing it, but he could have, pitching the fit in the tunnel in Worcester after a bad outing.
Okay, so there was that. And then now, what the hell is he doing riding his bike to pick up lunch? Like, in this day and age, everybody and his mother will bring lunch to you. Uber Eats, Grubhub, like DoorDash. Just have someone bring you your effing lunch. The other part of the story that sounds weird to me, he hit something.
Something.
We don't know what.
A goat.
So, okay, so he hits something, goes ass over tea kettle over his handlebars, wipes out, breaks his wrist, calls the trainer, and the trainer goes out to him? Huh? Like, can you get your ass out here? I just wiped out on my bike. Does that feel a little weird? Why wouldn't you just, where can I meet you? Or hop in the car and drive over? It's his right wrist. Oh, he doesn't have a car. He was on his bike. So, look, now I'm like, but honestly, here's where I am. If I'm the Red Sox, I want some of my money back. This is ridiculous. There's always a reason with this guy. Or there's always something going on with this guy. And if him riding his bike and wiping out has cost him games on the field, I would and I know this is a dick move, but I would seriously explore looking into his contract to find if that was any sort of violation.
So he said he was working out at BC.
Throwing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now that I think of it, it had really nothing to do with, he said his home apparently is in the Cleveland Circle area, maybe Chestnut Hill. He lives in Chestnut Hill somewhere, upper Brookline there. And so, was he coming from the workout or was he coming from home?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know why he pointed that out. Or why I'm pointing that out, but I don't know. Either way, I'm not going to be with you on the DoorDash thing. I don't do any of that crap. If I want lunch, I get my car and I go get lunch. Or I will get on my bike and go get lunch. I will.
Okay.
I've never gone flying off my handlebars and broken my wrist, though. I don't know.
Maybe you're just a better bicyclist than Chris Sale.
I'm not a very coordinated guy, either.
I mean, it just, the whole thing calls into the credibility of all these stories.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? All these stories. Again, he's throwing and cracks a rib. Then he's rehabbing. And if you remember at the time, then there's some mysterious setback that was not, you know, not disclosed. Shaughnessy theorized it was because he was on a timetable to pitch in Toronto and he's not vaccinated. And so the Red Sox lied about it. Maybe that was the case. I think something happened and they're not telling us what. Why does this stuff keep happening to this guy?
So, Bloom, I haven't heard all these cuts today, but let me just go through some of them. Number two, Sale is pretty beat up. Let's hear that, Jimmy.
You said it was a pretty rough spill. Is it just one? Can you sort of take us through what he suffered, what he's dealing with?
Good question.
Yeah, fortunately,
maybe we're not.
That
we might not be on.
We might not be on.
No, you
hello, is anybody out there?
Jimmy, you there?
I'm here.
Seriously, this is weird.
Okay, well, I think we're on the simulcast, would be my guess, because the TV is still on. But
I'll find out. Keep going.
I don't know that we're on.
I mean, I assume, you know, Bloom would sound something like that. Well, yes, he is indeed really beat up. Control, alt, delete, do not like.
So, I mean, it's, you don't blame Bloom for this one, but it's, you know what, Maz? It's just the Red Sox. It's just when it goes down in flames.
Okay, but again, I want to, to me, I want to stick to the Sale.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No. And I understand it does. Listen, this is entirely a Red Sox experience. Why does this stuff happen to this guy? Like, there's got to be something that he is doing that is not prudent that is leading to some of this. I'm not saying all of it. But I want to know full disclosure because I don't believe these stories anymore. There have just been too many weird ones where all of a sudden something else pops up. So what the hell is it? Did he really crack a rib throwing? And what was the setback for in the middle? What is this one now with the bike? Meanwhile, they're paying him $26 million to pitch for them. And he's really been on the field for, like, what, two starts? How many starts did he make?
He made two starts. He made two starts. He went 5 2/3 innings pitched this year. And, Maz, you just referenced some of the things in the last calendar year with Chris Sale. You remember his mysterious hospitalization in 2018 when he apparently had the stomach bug before the playoffs and he wasn't himself in the playoffs? He had a mysterious broken foot with the White Sox, too, that nobody has any idea really how it happened. In fact, he said to some of his teammates, "I'll go to my grave, you know, before I, you know, declare how this happened." It's always something with this guy. So, you know, to your point, Maz, what is he doing? Why is it always some mysterious situation with Chris Sale? Because they keep happening.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's do this. I think we may have been knocked off the radio, so let's just take a break here on the simulcast side. Try and get in touch with Jimmy. We'll come back with more of your thoughts. Our thoughts on Chris Sale. Your thoughts on Chris Sale. You can call us at 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As difficult as it is to see this succession of injuries, how does this... These are strange accidents, right? These are strange injuries that have happened. What does this mean for how you view Chris and his potential contributions over the next couple of years?
Well, as with everything that's happened, you look forward and he should be fine. I know we keep saying that and then things keep happening. This is just an incredibly bizarre run of events. And, you know, when he should be full go next spring. And we obviously need to think through, you know, what that means as far as planning out a full season with him not having carried very much of a workload the past few years. But other than that, there's no reason not to expect him, you know, to be back and to be the Chris Sale that we know. I mean, you guys saw it, that those five innings in St. Pete, he looked really good. I think in that outing, he looked better than he had at any point last year, maybe except for game five of the ALCS. So we're really encouraged in that regard. Just obviously, this is a tough blow.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Felger and Maz, I guess we are still on the air. Just real quick before we get back into the topic, we're operating in a thing here where we can't hear Jimmy Stewart back in studio, or we can't hear programming.
Correct. Best, and I'm not sure we can hear calls either.
We can't hear calls. We can't hear anything coming back through our headset. We only know to go because Maz is currently FaceTiming Stu. And on the Stu FaceTime, he played us the – I see Stu right there. You see him? You get a close-up of him there, Vin, on the FaceTime.
Jimmy on the FaceTime.
There's very Stu good. On the FaceTime.
We miss you, Stu. Hi.
Yep. Okay, we can't hear Stu through the headset. We can hear him on the FaceTime. So we heard the bloom cut coming back. He told us to go.
If this doesn't work, we're going to open a window.
Okay, so he's going to... Stu is queuing us through the FaceTime on the phone. Otherwise, we can't hear you. We can't hear any other sound. But that was Heim Bloom saying, looking forward, Chris Sale should be fine. Full go for spring training. Your thoughts on that, McCarthy?
It's the definition of insanity, right? I mean, repeating the same process and doing the same thing and expecting different results. Do you expect anything from Chris Sale moving forward? Why would you all of a sudden just say, well, you know, these are kind of freak injuries. We expect him to be a full go for 2023. Something else is going to happen between now and 2023. I hate to break it to Heim Bloom, and I hate to break it to the Red Sox. You cannot count on this guy. Why did they not seem to get that? Why would you ever count on Chris Sale for anything? It's going to be an injury he sustains on the field. It's going to be an injury he sustains on his bike. It's going to be an injury he sustains goat farming. I don't know where he's going to get this. But you know why would you count on him?
But I'm with Maz, and I think maybe you were hinting at this before or getting to it. I don't think this is all random.
Me neither.
Or it's all unlucky.
No, me neither.
I think there's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah, so and you say something wrong. And look, I would tell you, too, that if any athlete had this run of luck, I would say this is bullcrap. It's got to be bullcrap because there's just no way that this type of stuff can happen over and over again, and it's completely random when you factor in some of the other things. And so what is it? Is he not following the program they're giving him in terms of throwing? Is that why his rib cracked? Or I don't know.
No,
I'm
but
just asking you a series of events.
Let's workshop this. I mean, Vinny, if you have the video of him throwing the nutty in Worcester, like this is something we only saw because people were able to sneak their cell camera,
correct,
you know, in that crevice between the tarp and the tunnel down there. So we knew that he did that to the TV.
Correct.
But, I mean, and I have no idea. But is he just unhinged? And so he just moves violently or reacts violently or something that prone, and he's prone to get hurt because of that? Or is there... And again, I'm just talking old, because is there some sort of chemical imbalance that forces him to lash out and act sort of, you know, violently or irrationally? I mean, like, look at this guy. If you're watching on the simulcast, I mean, look at that dude. We all know the story about what happened when he didn't like the throwback uniform with the White Sox.
Correct.
Yeah, a knife or a scissors, like shredding the things. So I don't know. Did someone cut him off in traffic and he lose his mind? I don't know. But it don't tell me it's just he's just unlucky. I mean, you get unlucky a couple times. You don't constantly have this sort of stuff if you're unlucky. There's you're sort of forcing the action, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Look, Marcus Smart allegedly punched a frame or a picture in a hotel room, right, and cut his hand and missed time because of it. Did something like that happen here and they're feeding us he fell off his bike? I don't know. Now, look again. And this is like, well, you don't believe him?
No, I don't. I don't.
Why would you?
I don't. I'm sorry. It's happened too many times and I don't.
Well, no. He may have fallen off his bike.
But then he got up and punched something.
Or something. Right. It wasn't just, whoops, he hit a little rock and flipped over his bike. Nope. I'm not buying that. Nope. I'm not. Did he fall off a bike? Maybe. Who the hell knows? But I wonder, Maz, I don't know if they're protecting him this time, because they could have covered this whole thing up. Doesn't sound like there was any real witnesses or anyone else really saw it. I mean, if anyone saw this, that would have been out. You would have seen it, right? Or if there was a police report or an ambulance call or anything like that. So I think they could have buried it. Instead, they let us know in the release, they released it, that he fell off his bike. And then they did a presser on it and answered questions about it. So I don't think, I wonder if, you know, this time they said, no, we're going to let people know exactly what happened, or as we think happened, or whatever. We're going to let, you know, we're going to let people know. I just wonder that if they're done. I know it sounds like Heimblum's covering up for him, but going public with it isn't really covering up for him.
No, I just think, again, I don't know whether they conjured up the story. Look, maybe it's real. I suppose anything's possible. But I see the pattern here, and I say, what's going on with this guy? What's going on here? And so, again, he tries to rip a TV off a wall. Is it beyond is it beyond possibility here or beyond belief that he got pissed off about something and punched a wall and broke his wrist or pounded a table? Or I don't know. But feeding me what we've been fed, even if it is true, is not believable. It's just not believable anymore, let alone the fact that what McCarthy's talking about, which is, well, now you say, well, okay, well, these are all freak injuries, so we're expecting them to be a part of our rotation next year. Sorry, I'm not accepting that anymore. And as an organization, they shouldn't accept it either. So now two-fifths of your rotation next year is going to be Chris Sale, who's had a series of injuries and setbacks, and who was never durable enough to get through a whole season anyway. Okay, so let's add that, because that's really important in the discussion. As Chaim Bloom said repeatedly in his presser today, he also hasn't pitched a full season in how many years now? So what does that mean in terms of conditioning and what you can expect from him? Like, do you have to set him back to 150 innings or something because he's gone backwards for 4 years? Their other guy that they have is James Paxton, who's coming off of elbow surgery.
Does he exist? Okay. Is he a real person? Can we confirm this?
Okay, but you see where I'm going with this. Like, so what are they going to do? Go into another offseason and not sign any pitching? Because they have Chris Sale and James Paxton coming back and Nick Pivetta and Brian Bayo, and while we're loaded, we're ready to go? As a fan, how can you possibly accept that at this stage? And how can you buy that? You can't. So now look, again, we're in the heat of the moment. This thing just happened. In 4 months, they're going to talk about Sale coming back, and we'll probably all lap it up. I have no idea, but I don't see how you can have this series of events this year. Mike, he was supposed to be available to them this year for the entire season, not half the season, which, again, I think we've all somehow, you know, tricked ourselves into thinking because he had the injury during the offseason. No. He was supposed to be ready from opening day this year. He was supposed to be there from the very beginning. He made two starts and has had a series of weird incidents that frankly stretched the bounds of credibility. So how can you possibly accept any of it if you are a fan of the team? Or how about just someone with a brain?
Okay. Again, we've sort of been knocked off a little bit here. You can hear us, but we can't hear you. I got Stu on FaceTime. Stu, are we okay? We still up and running? We looking good?
Hey, okay. There's the thumbs
up. Stu's giving me the thumbs up. If I could hear sound, I'd call for. So he was asked, Chaim Bloom was asked today, was he going to pitch this season? What did Chaim Bloom – don't run it, Jimmy. Do you guys hear what he said?
Yeah, Chaim Bloom said, yes, I was expecting him to come back. Yep. And they indicate – now he said it might not have been right now. But, you know, it might have been in the later part of the year, which tells me September at some point, which, again, lines up with the timeline. But they were expecting him to come back and pitch, and if they made the playoffs, be available to them in the postseason.
Okay. Mike, that's why that's notable, because to your point, they could have hid this. They could have just said, yeah, he's not ready to come back from the broken finger. He's not going to pitch, you know, again in 2022. They totally could have buried this. Nobody would have known. So to your point, by releasing this news today, I actually do tend to believe this story, or this is the story that they've been told. I don't know if it's true, but I think the Red Sox are telling their version of the truth because I think they want this out there. Because they could have totally buried this. They could have totally hid this.
Yeah, he hurt his wrist, but whatever. They didn't even have to tell us about it.
They didn't have to tell him he even hurt the wrist. He's already hurt. He's already on the
list. Exactly. Won't be returning this year. Period. Paragraph.
Right.
That's
end of story.
He was also, Bloom was asked if Sale wasn't coming back, would it have changed the deadline? Was that the question?
Yes.
What do you say to that?
He said no, probably not. Chris Gasper asked that question, and he said no, you know, probably not. It's, you know, again, because if they were expecting him back, it'd be in the later part of the season. He's not necessarily going to impact the race, which, again, tells me we're probably looking at middle of September or something of the like, something like that.
Okay, so Stu's giving me the break sign. Stu, okay. So listen.
You're going to have to hand me the phone.
When they get a hit, they do that.
Should I cue McCarthy when to start the update and when to kill the update? Okay, there we go. All right. If we figure this out, we'll talk to you on the phones. You're all lined up there. In the meantime, we continue. Here's an update from Matt McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In terms of the practical effect of this, what had you considered the likelihood that he might be able to pitch again this season?
I think he was going to. And actually, you know, when Brad was calling me to tell me about the biking accident, he said, you should have seen him throw at BC. He looked great. You know, obviously, with the pinky being involved, it was probably the changeup was probably going to be the last thing to come into play. But just in terms of picking up a baseball and letting it go confidently, he was looking good. We obviously had not gotten to the point of putting a timetable on it, but we all felt pretty good that he was going to come back and pitch this season.
All right, that's once again Heim Bloom. I'm being cued by Jimmy Stewart on FaceTime. Again, we've lost our return, so we can't hear what's going on out to you or your phone calls or the sound. We're communicating by the booth with Jimmy Stewart again via FaceTime. There he is. You're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. Apparently, it's fine there. That was Heim Bloom on expecting Chris Sale back. Before I get into the Alex Spear story that he wrote today in the Globe, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
McCarthy had a very pertinent question, I thought. Or no, it was Vinny Crouch, our simulcast booster, came in there and asked a very pertinent question. $30 million a year pitcher with a broken pinky driving around on a bicycle?
Yep.
When the team is expecting you back?
Correct.
What are you doing, you freaking a-hole?
I know, this is what I was saying. What's he doing, riding his bike? Like, I suppose it's not a violation of his contract, although I'll tell you what, if I were the Red Sox, and again, I know it's a dick move, but I would look into whether there's a way to reclaim some of my money on this contract this year. You know, there's deferred money in the deal. They're paying him $25.4 million, I think it is, or something like that, at least by the luxury tax formula. And so he's counting $25 million. He's made two starts. And all the problems are, you know, they feel self-inflicted in some way, shape, or form. You know, whether it's a cracked rib while he's throwing, which feels weird, an unspecified setback that he had during the rehab process. Now, the line drive certainly was not his fault. So let's leave that one out. I mean, that's just a tough break. But now this one, he falls off his bike and breaks his wrist. Breaks his wrist. So now he's out for the rest of the year. Now, it's on his glove hand, so I'm less concerned about it in the long term than I would be otherwise.
No. I'm not worried about his wrist.
But it's always something.
I'm worried about his head.
Yes.
I'm worried about Chris Sale, because he is Chris Sale, period. Sorry.
Yeah, and I just don't know how you can take these at face value anymore. I'm sorry, you just can't. You can't just take them at face value. And, you know, I mean, if they're all legit, like, you know, could he take that personally? Yes, he could. And I would say nobody on this side of it can believe all this anymore. You just can't.
Okay, here's the story that I found interesting. Unrelated, I guess, except just when it rains, it pours for the Red Sox. They just, when they go bad, it's an implosion. It's just a classic Red Sox thing. It's amazing. Alex Spear writes in the Globe, how Red Sox tackled the trade deadline. Approach is not fully understood. That's the headline. He says, 1 week later, head scratching persists about how the Red Sox approached the trade deadline, and not just from fans and media. Multiple members of the organization, writes Alex Spear, from players and uniform personnel to front office members, used a common word in assessing the team's unwillingness to define itself as either a buyer or a seller while orbiting the 500 mark at the August 2nd trade deadline. And that common word? Confusion. He says questions have lingered, not just about the team's direction for the rest of 2022, but beyond. What do you make of this story, Maz?
Oh, I think it's 100% on the money. The day after the trading deadline, when we did the show, I think I said to you, he's losing the clubhouse, or he's lost the clubhouse. And I think he's losing people inside the walls at Fenway Park. I think that's all legit. And so now, does that mean it's irreparable? I don't know. But this whole thing of We don't want to limit ourselves and identify ourselves. Human beings need clarity. We need clarity. That's the way we're wired. And, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at it saying, what the hell are we doing? What are we? What are we going to be? This is a little like the cut we played yesterday from Pedro. I don't see the path. I don't see where Chaim Bloom is trying to lead us. Where is he trying to lead us? Where's this going? Nobody knows, Mike. Nobody has an answer. And so when you're trying to lead people, they need to know where you're going. So again, analytically, you know, intellectually, we can listen to all these Ivy Leaguers saying we don't have to be this, we don't have to be that. And let's face it, we live in a non-binary world now. Okay, so nobody needs to be labeled or identified as anything. But when you are leading people, they have to know what the mission is. If you want buy-in, right? If you want the buy-in, you have to tell people what the plan is. And I don't think they're doing that. I don't. And what their actions aren't demonstrating what the plan is.
Do you think this story signifies that Bloom could be in some trouble?
Yes, but not immediately. I think it's the seeds of it.
I think it's I absolutely believe that. And just to me, again, I do a lot of this sort of handicapping through the media coverage. Who's reporting what? Because I think there's things to be gleaned, you know, if you know whose side, which reporters are on or who they're close to and what's coming out through them. There's a way to sort of read the tea leaves that way. And Alex Speer, and I say this with all love and respect in my heart, I'm saying it half joking, more than half joking. But I think Alex Speer is like a henchman of John Henry. I think he's like a little mini-me of John Henry. Henry has hired a few guys in the media to the Globe, he and Mike Silverman, who are sort of like in John Henry's image. Kind of wonky, nebbishy, kind of, you know, intellectual guys. And I think that Henry is a soft spot for those guys. And I sort of view those guys, and I've known Mike Silverman, we've worked with Mike Silverman for 30 years.
Absolutely.
Love the man. But I look at Speer and, you know, those guys, like, they're sort of John Henry's foot soldiers a little bit. I say that half joking because I don't think those are malicious guys in any way, shape, or form.
No, but in the way you would describe Mike Reese as the fifth Kraft son.
It's just a long way of saying if Speer and the Globe have the green light to write something like this, it tells you something. It tells you something. Never mind that John Henry owns the team. You know who Speer is close to. And how he got the job in the first place, or, you know, just sort of those inner workings. And I don't mean this in a malicious way, and in any way, shape, or form. All I know is this. If I were Bloom, and I read this from Speer, that there are multiple members of the organization, from players to front office members, who are questioning me, and there's confusion, that would deeply concern me if I were Chaim Bloom coming from this guy.
It should concern him. It should concern him. It should have concerned him on the day of the trading deadline, if not before it. This thing was, you know, the clubhouse did not react well to that. I don't think there's any question about that. And J.D. Martinez made some sort of, you know, snarky comment a little bit at the trade deadline when he was asked about the moves. And someone said, you know, do you think you're better? And he's like, we're different. So I don't know. Maybe we're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle. But the whole tone of his comment was something the effect of...
So listen, that's not exactly what I'm talking about, because I know...
No, you're talking about dissension.
I know there's dissension. I know the players and the manager, the uniform personnel are looking upstairs saying, what the hell are we doing? Like that, I know.
I mean, that's obvious.
You're
that's
talking about baseball
day.
Ops.
What this story tells me...
Ownership.
Front office.
Higher.
And what that's ownership. Different.
What this story tells me is that Bloom needs to watch his back upstairs. That there's now... That Speer felt... You know, the green light to write this one. And I would not, can you imagine we're in this place a year after, you know, just a year later where Chaim Bloom was being exalted as this guy. But now, you know, we're talking about confusion inside the organization from uniform personnel to the front office members. If I were Bloom, I'd be watching my back on this one.
He should be. He should be. Again, I think it's all legit. There is no clear message or leadership being shown in terms of where they're going.
And I think Lou said this on TV last night. Could you blame John Henry if he says, I went to the luxury tax for last place?
For this?
Yeah. You know, and it's not like they're deep into the tax and it's going to kill them, but it is still a line that they pay attention to. And I think, you know, Henry went over the tax this year thinking he'd contend. I'm not going over the tax to be in last place. You know, this was never the idea. And so, I mean, what owner wouldn't look at that?
Well, especially if they're looking at it in 2 or 3 year bursts, right? Like, we're going to be into the tax for 2 years, and every third year or fourth year or whatever it is, we're going to come out. Well, now you just used up one of those. Right, you used up one of those bullets.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. We'll continue to put some things on the table here and talk to you as soon as the sound is back up. We are not back up with you. Apparently, you know, we're going through all these studio changes. We're moving out of Dorchester any day now. We're here temporarily in Needham. They're just about finished with our thing in Waltham. And so in the course of that, there's a lot of technicians plugging things in and plugging, you know, unplugging and plugging things in. A
lot of cords.
Apparently someone unplugged the wrong thing today down in Dorchester, got in the van and drove off, and now the individual is driving back in the van to plug it back in.
You know, drove off laughing his ass off. Like, let's see these guys do the show without any audio in their ears.
So as soon as it's plugged back in, we'll hear from you. In the meantime, we plug ahead with our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Some sort of prid quo quo there.
Felger.
Like, well, but, excuse me.
And Mass.
Excuse me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, obviously, no one has a crystal ball. There's no way of knowing. But would it have changed your approach at all at the trade deadline if you knew, you know, Chris Sale wasn't coming back this year? You just said prior that you guys felt pretty good about him being able to pitch again. With the benefit of hindsight, would it have changed your approach at all if you knew you weren't going to have him for the rest of the year?
I don't think so. Just even though we expected him back, you know, it was realistically till we got him built up, it was going to be deep enough into the season that I don't think it would have changed things markedly. Look, obviously, we expected that if we did make a push and get in, that we'd have him at the end. And you know, now that's not going to be possible. But you know, I don't think this would have changed much.
All right, we are back. We have our return, so we can hear you. We can hear Tom Petty currently playing in my ears. We can hear Stu. We're all back up and running. So we'll get right to your phones. Here is Joe in Maine. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got on Chris Sale?
Hey, I want to be sensitive about this, but I know you guys have been dancing around a little bit. Maybe Chris Sale does have some off-field problems. You know, we all know, say, Dennis Eckersley, or we have great heroes in our lives that have had some challenges, okay? And I know you guys have talked about it a little bit, and it does beg, you know, the discussion on whether it's mental, physical, perhaps chemical, you know, something that, you know,
well, Joe, let me just stop you. I don't rule it out. I don't rule it out. I'm not going to accuse anyone of anything, but I just don't think it's a random string of bad luck.
How could you?
I think there's something off with the guy or something wrong with the guy or there's something. And so if it's that, it's that. If it's something else, it's something else. But it's getting beyond the point where it's just a random string of bad luck. Sorry.
I mean, at some point, you have to look at it and say, what's going on here? Okay, now again, the line drive hitting him off the hand, we all saw that. But every other thing that has happened to him, we haven't seen. Okay, again, the broken rib, we didn't see it. The setback along the way during the rehab that he had, we didn't see that. Now we haven't seen this. We wouldn't have seen the nutty in Worcester had it not been for the television, you know, someone recording it on their phone. So I don't know. All I'm telling you is I'm fine. I can't take it at face value anymore. I'm sorry.
Ben on the Cape. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, hey Mike. So I actually held off calling back in spring training with the rib injury, but I have it on pretty good authority from a friend that Sale didn't have his rib broken. He had a rib removed. He was. Are you guys familiar with the urban legend of Marilyn Manson?
I don't know if you're being serious. You're joking with I don't know. I don't know the reference. Urban legend of Marilyn Manson, is that what he said?
Yeah, it can't really be described on the radio, Mike.
Okay, so is it a joke? I don't know. Like, you can't play those kind of jokes with me because I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Me neither.
I wouldn't Google that on a work computer there, Matt.
Okay, well, Matt in Providence. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, so two things. I don't understand how this organization is going to go forward playing the slow game, the long play. This organization has never won that way. Heimblum's got to go. Got to go. And when we talk about Chris Sale, maybe something being off, 100%. I'm sick of him. Get rid of him. At what point are you being sold a bill of goods about what this guy is internally? He fell off a bike. He ripped a TV screen off a wall in his rehab stint. He could have hurt himself doing that, but he didn't. But the fact that he was so reckless to behave that way, I'm sorry. Get rid of the bike. Dismiss that notion. And we may need to dismiss Chris Sale. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, there's something off with him. There's no doubt about it. There's something off with him. He made an interesting little side comment, though, about Bloom. This Red Sox team has never been able to play the long game, meaning system,
yep.
You know, 5-year plan, patient with your prospects, that sort of thing. They've never been that kind of team. Do you agree?
Yes.
Should they ever be that kind of team?
I mean, yes. But again, when you say long game, I think you can do both.
Theo did.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah. It's not an easy pull. It's hard to do in this market because people are, let's face it, we're impatient, we're borderline psycho. We are not well adjusted, but that's okay. That's part of what makes us us. So, you know, Theo got pushed back internally during that whole bridge year thing, mostly from Lucchino, and we all know how that blew up at that point in time. But I will say that overall during the Theo years, or at least during the first half of it, they did a pretty good job kind of balancing it. You know, they did pump out some players. They did get Papelbon and Lester and Buchholz and Pedroia and Ellsbury. And at the same time, you know, they had a good nucleus. Now, some of it was inherited from Dan Duquette. But in the same breath, I would tell you they were in good shape. They signed Matsuzaka. And we might not have liked all the signings of J.D. Drew or Lugo or Crawford. But they tried to do both. This feels way too far in the small market direction. And you're going to, again, forget about losing us. Okay, we're going to complain no matter what. But people inside the walls there are looking at them going, where's this going?
If I were Bloom, I'd be worried about upstairs. And not on his floor or downstairs, upstairs.
Okay,
Henry.
The only thing I would tell you, Mike, is that the doubt upstairs starts with the doubt downstairs. Like, if people in the baseball operations are now looking at it going, what the hell's going on here? Then that's how it gets to ownership.
Well, fair enough. Judy in Dalton. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I believe that Chris Sale should leave because I think when he got hit by that pitch at his finger, I think he did it on purpose. So he just wants money from the club. And I'm sure there's other players that would like to pitch on the Boston Red Sox. And thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, Judy. I'll believe a lot of things. I won't believe that one.
They deliberately grooved an 87-mile-an-hour changeup up in the zone just so he could get hit on the wrist.
I mean, look, again, that one is what it is. We all saw it. The other stuff we haven't seen.
Correct.
So, like, it's always something away from the park. It's always something that is, I don't want to say totally unrelated to baseball because, you know, the rib injury. But, again, that's a new one on me. I haven't heard of that one happening before. So, like, how come all these things happen to him? Like, is there some other story there that we're not digging enough on?
All right. We'll keep continuing to take your calls on that. Sorry, another Red Sox whopper today with Chris Sale falling off his bicycle, going for lunch at Pino's. Where the hell was he headed? The Cleveland Circle, right?
Yes.
So, you tell me, the Eagle Cafe still there? In that place? You know what I'm talking about? Either way, so
Cityside is Cityside still there?
I don't know. The ground round's gone, right?
Yeah, that's history.
So I don't know, but so that's another only on the Red Sox. It feels like
he was going to Marianne's.
We began the day with some thoughts on the Patriots. We can reset those. We have a Kevin Durant thought of the day. Still have to get you a David Krejci thought. So we'll continue. We'll reset some of the Patriots stuff. There's Patriots calls on the board. We'll get to them right after McCarthy's 90-second update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.